You know, before we get back to running and jogging all over the place, keep in mind while you're busy building your physique, your endurance, you know, other things out there have to live too, like mites and insects that can destroy your roses or flower gardens. So our friends at Bonide American-made products have Rose RX 3-in-1. It's an all-natural spray you can use on roses, flowers, and you can even use it on most of your houseplants to control insects and disease when it starts. So it's not like something you have to just go buy if you think you might have, just to have in case. But when you actually see a disease or insect invasion start, you can pick it up all over the state, including Treeland Nurseries in Mesa. That's Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1. Apply it, and you're ready to go. It comes in quart or an economical pint size if you've got a large area or a lot of plants. You can also find it at Viola's in Flagstaff and Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson. That's Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1. So while you're out jogging around, you don't have to worry about what's jogging all over your plants and chewing them up.
Very good. We're here with Katie Stumbo, national personal fitness trainer, talking about getting in shape for the Pat Tillman. She's been helping sweet Jennifer get in shape. You think you're ready for it, huh?
Well, I'm going to finish it one way or the other.
Yeah, okay. All right. 48 minutes.
I have enjoyed it. Katie's given me a lot of good tips. I guess I was pushing too hard, and after I would get to my four-mile run, I would just be kind of crippled up. So she had me back off. I'm running 3 minutes and walking one, and I finished feeling absolutely fine. So,
and it's not taking you any longer.
Like, no, it's like a minute or two longer. That really surprised me.
I learned that in crossing the Grand Canyon that you can grin and bear it and gut it out and don't take any rest, don't stop, just keep going, and you can cross in about. Katie, you crossed it in what, 6 hours?
It was just under 6 hours.
In 6 hours. I crossed it in about 9 hours. But if you take an approach where you stop every 2 hours and rest 15 minutes, you can actually get done about 8.5 hours.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's actually a very popular marathon training theory, and it's called Run Turtle Run.
I love it.
Tortoise, you know, like tortoise in the hare.
Okay.
So run, tortoise, run, and you pick your times, and you run for, I like 3-in-1, but when I'm working with somebody that works well, that's a good time frame. A lot of running, a little bit of rest, and it keeps you moving.
I think it's a mental game, too. I can do that for 3 minutes.
Absolutely.
And then I'm going to get a little break. Now I can do another 3 minutes, and I just look ahead and kind of pick what that 3 minutes, it'll take me 3 minutes to get there. I'm going to get there.
Okay, so you're not a fan of cheap shoes or carbo loading or slacking off the week before the event.
No. And another thing is you can start front loading your body with some anti-inflammatories before the race. And I'm not talking necessarily just popping a bunch of pills, but loading your diet with anti-inflammatory foods, such as my favorites are salmon and citrus. They're highly anti-inflammatory. I tell all of my clients, anybody that's running an event, go get some salmon the night before, and you'll feel a lot better after.
Okay. All right.
Well. Salmon has more anti-inflammatory properties than ibuprofen.
Interesting.
And it won't burn a hole in your stomach.
How much of it do you have to eat?
Oh, like 6 fish. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Alaska wild food industry is actually on a big advertising campaign right now talking about how healthy their sockeye salmon is. It's actually sponsoring the traffic. Yeah. Beach traffic.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Salmon is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's my favorite fish, too. It makes it easy.
I'm trying to remember. I was in Flagstaff last week for the Flagstaff Home Show. We went out for dinner. The Tinderbox was the restaurant we were at, and I had a salmon there that absolutely knocked your socks off. It was absolutely delicious. We had some great meals in Flagstaff last weekend. We really did. Ate very, very well.
I have never gotten a salmon craze when you have halibut and flounder as options. I don't get the salmon craze.
Yeah, you're not the salmon guy?
No. Give me a halibut or give me some flounder. But salmon, eh.
No, not your favorite. Huh? All right, so that's getting in shape for, in particularly, the race that you'll be participating in next week. There's thousands of runners participating, right?
Oh, Thousands. I saw 30,000, I believe.
How many?
30,000.
You're going to get run over.
This is going to be hysterical. You do. You do it. It just is packed, and you see a lot of fun stuff. There's men out there in full combat uniforms running this. You'll see men carrying the big flagpoles with American flag running with those, and you're like, well, shoot, that's some upper body strength, you know.
And then you finish, and your
and
favorite
then you
part.
Finish, yeah. And a lot of the football players who knew and loved Pat are out there lining the finishing chute, cheering you on. It's just a great...
Finishes on the football field.
It finishes on the football field. The
At
people,
the 42-yard line.
Yes, it does. You have people who start, so you have the wave start. So the fastest people start first, and every 2 minutes another corral starts.
Okay.
So you have the first people finishing before everybody's even started the race.
Wow.
You have people waiting to have their start gun go off, and there's people who've already finished the 4.2.
Wow.
There's so many people.
Well, here's to everyone trying to get through the Pat Tillman, maybe. Is this going to be like a stepping stone for you, or are you going to go from this to 10Ks to half marathons?
I think it's just a bucket list item. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Very good. Hey, this is National Volunteer Week, and thank you, Katie Stumbo, for coming in and joining us this morning. Again, National Personal Fitness Trainer. Appreciate your input on that.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. National Volunteer Week, April 12th through the 18th. It's about inspiring, recognizing, and encouraging people to seek out imaginative ways to engage in their communities. Listen, one of the groups I'm involved in, of course, is Arizona Fish and Game and Wildlife for Tomorrow. And they're participating in a cleanup. And we've announced these cleanups a couple times, and the turnout has been absolutely unbelievable. There was a cleanup on March 1st up at Table Mesa Road, and it was threatening severe rain that weekend, if you remember. And they said, rain or shine, we're going to do this. They had 250 volunteers show up.
Wow.
And they cleaned up 10 tons.
Tons?
Tons. 20,000 pounds of trash.
So it was still a good day's work for that many people.
All right. And then in January, we announced that they were going to do the cleanup at Hewitt Station. Now, Hewitt Station is on the old railroad line that cuts across over there by Superior, just north of Boyce Thompson Arboretum. They used to haul cattle and copper on that line. Well, the cattle chute was at Hewitt Station, just a little bit west of Boyce Thompson Arboretum. So in January, they had a cleanup there. They had 400 people show up, and they hauled out 40 tons of trash.
Did it look like
80,000 pounds of junk?
Could you tell it was that bad?
I mean, yes.
Debris
and trash everywhere. So anyway, next weekend, they're having another cleanup, but this one, they don't have room for that many people. They only have room for about 50 volunteers, so space is limited. But it's going to be at the Sonoran Desert National Monument, and you would contact Diane at treadlightly.org. That's Diane with two N's, Diane at treadlightly.org. It's over there in the Buckeye Goodyear area. You bring water, gloves, hat, sunscreen, trash pinchers, buckets, wear long pants, sturdy shoes. Four-wheel drives and off-road vehicles are helpful. So that's next Saturday, April 25th, from 7:30 to 12. That's the other thing. These aren't all-day events. This many volunteers cleaned up that much trash in those two locations just over the course of a morning.
I think I'll get Diane to send us a before and after picture.
That would be a great idea. I was exchanging emails with her yesterday. I should have thought about that. So Diane at treadlightly.org. That's with two N's, D-I-A-N-N-E at treadlightly.org. Now, before we go to break, I think we need to talk about this homeowner alert that I also received. I hate bringing bad news into the Rosie on the House program.
But I think that's part of our job is to give alerts and protect our homeowners.
Absolutely. Our number one goal in this objective of conducting this radio show every single Saturday morning is to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And we do that by informing you and protecting you. And Phoenix Advisory Block Watch Program sent me a notice out this week that there's been over 40 instances just recently of primarily elderly single women being robbed.
Listen up, girls.
By people coming and knocking on your door and posing as a tradesperson or as a utility repairman. And they escort you in the backyard and ask you to participate in helping them measure something or distract you while they have taken you into the backyard. An accomplice has moved in the front door that you let this person in, and they're actually in the house robbing you as you're in the backyard with this fake utility repairman measuring whatever.
I was searching for this story on the web, and apparently there's a wave of this type of thing.
Yes, there is.
Back in November, it was landscapers doing the same type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, so take a couple out back and say, what do you want done over here? You could take a long time explaining what you wanted done in your yard. In the meantime, somebody's ransacking your jewelry.
And they really don't need to be in the house very long at all. That's the critical element. So listen, the moral of the story, and I give this presentation on home security all the time. I give it to the Block Watch programs. I give it to homeowners associations. I give it to Kiwanis Club and Rotary Clubs and various neighborhoods. I give it at the home shows. I tell people, look, if you haven't invited this person onto your property, you are under no obligation to answer the door or open the door. In many instances, the stranger knocking on your door doesn't even need to get in your house to case your house to determine if it's worth coming back later and robbing. All they need to do is look over the top of your shoulder and see the condition of the furniture, the artwork, and decide whether or not this home is a highly probable candidate for having something that I want. Generally speaking, if they're going to break into your house, they're going to break into the front door. They're going to do it in the middle of the day, or in the middle of the afternoon, before you get home from work, while you're obviously out running errands. And they're only going to spend about 45 to 60 seconds trying to get in your house. They're only going to be in your house about 2 or 3 minutes. And they're going to try. And where are they going to go? Once they're in the house, where's the first place they're going to go?
Master bedroom closet.
Yes. They're going to go for where they suspect the highest amount of small valuables are. Master bedroom closet. They're going to ransack the drawers looking for jewelry. And on the way out, they're going to probably steal, they're going to try and steal the most valuable thing you have in your home, your identity. And they're going to look for a computer. They're going to look for what appears to be a bill paying station. Maybe you have little folders hanging on the wall, bills to be paid, bills to be filed.
Or a password book.
Do
not keep that by your computer.
Absolutely. Once they've stole your identity, they can sell that over and over and over again on the black market. We are big, big believers, having been victims of identity theft ourselves, big, big, big believers of the identity protection software that's available out there. We like
LifeLock.
We like LifeLock.
When it happened to us, it was before LifeLock. It was miserable. It was several years of trying to clear it up.
And we buy the highest level of protection at LifeLock for both of our identities. And it doesn't cost us but about $200 a year?
That's right, for both of us.
Yeah. And for the grief it caused us, I mean, it was 6 or 7 years of clearing up your identity after it got stolen.
It was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was horrible. So they're going to try and steal that. So on the issue of home security and home protection, if someone is approaching your door and you haven't invited them on the property for an appointment, you let them know you're home by answering the door through the closed door. You do not open the door. You have no, you're under no obligation to talk to them, to visit with them. If they say they're there representing a particular company, tell them, I will call the company, verify you're supposed to be out here. If you find out that company is not conducting any surveys in the area, please call 911 immediately. Let's get the police on the scene. Another very popular tactic that people are using, and again, I hate bringing up all this bad news, but this is real. This is really happening. They'll have a single woman running up and down the street, banging on your door, screaming and yelling and say, help me, help me, somebody's after me. And if no one answers, who would not answer that, right?
Right.
And in any house where no one answers, then she radios that address to an accomplice who follows her by about 15 or 20 minutes and breaks into that house and is hit. So if someone is doing that, Make sure you answer their pleas and tell them, stay right on the front step. I'll call the police immediately. I doubt she'll stay on the first step. So all things to be aware of, ladies, particularly you that are alone, don't open the door for anyone you haven't invited to your property. I don't know how I could make it easier than that. And it's generally the single elderly women from the Midwest because they trust everybody.
They think it's good manners.